no idea how much fun it is to get up to speak and have your audience walk out before you've even started. And they seem to enjoy it. I guess I'll just have to have patience. Two more lessons, the Lord willing, on the way. Jesus said to them, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Aspects of living the Christian life in a practical way, and I guess there is no more practical one than patience, and we're going to deal with it in a practical way, but I do need to say that it follows from last time's lesson on providence, on the Lord, the way the Lord works in history and in our lives and in the lives of many nations and states and all kinds of things to work out His will. Because patience is tied closely to the Father being in charge. Patience is God-given restraint in the face of opposition or oppression. Okay. It's the application of the golden rule over time. Now this I'm talking about the patience with other people and the way we would want other people to be patient with us. And we need to remember in patience there is this central concept of time. Okay? Patience doesn't mean anything without time. Okay, and in fact, acting immediately is often not patience. Patience takes a view, takes an action, takes a course of living over time. It's waiting, okay? Waiting and waiting happily, waiting joyfully, waiting in the way that it is just terribly hard for each of us to do. Okay, think of a kid before Christmas. Okay, now I got to tell you, I got to speak on my family. I don't get much good stuff under Christmas, so it's not that big a thing for me. Okay, but I can remember as a kid before Christmas. Okay, I can remember how it's coming. When is it? Why isn't it here? And my family, we grew up, we were kind of heterodox about this. We opened our gifts on Christmas Eve. You know why we opened our gifts on Christmas Eve? Because my mother did not want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and have all the kids wake her up and go. And I'm not going to talk about Santa Claus. I didn't have any patience. Didn't have any patience. It was something that I wanted to come sooner. But did you ever notice one of the meanest things you can say to a child? And I'm going to give you a dispensation because this is a child that's been bugging you for a month when Christmas gets here. Is about 10 o'clock on Christmas Day after you've opened all the gifts, you can tell them 364 days until Christmas and let them deal with that. Okay, all right. You remember last week we talked about providence kind of being like the kid riding in the back seat of the car. You know, not driving the car, not going where it's going. But there's one problem with that analogy, isn't it? We've all been there in the back seat of the car after about 30 minutes. It's, are we there yet? Anybody not experienced, are we there yet? Now, you wives, admit it. You all have even done that, haven't you? Are we there yet? That's a lack of patience. Now, I don't know why I didn't think of this with my first daughter, but with my second daughter, I've come up with this, by the way. Yes, we're there. Get out while we're driving. They don't get out. They don't open the door. They look out and kind of go, you want me to get out while the car's driving? Well, if you bug me too many times, yeah, I kind of do, don't I? I lose my patience with people losing their patience. Patience is tough. That happily part is really hard to do. Other biblical words for patience. Long. L-O-N-G, long. In fact, the Hebrew word which is used most in the Old Testament for patience is long. It's commonly translated long-suffering, But I kind of like this idea of long. God's long. He takes the long view of things. He's not caught up in the moment. He understands what's going on and is not going to do something impulsively or wrong or without patience. Okay. Steadfastness, keeping up, you know, not giving up, holding on, okay? Patient endurance, many of your more modern versions will say. Patient endurance, and this idea of endurance is part of it. And then finally, just plain waiting, okay? Just plain waiting. We want our kids in the back seat to wait till we get there before they ask, are we there yet? Because all they have to do is look out the window and see we're still driving, and obviously, no, we're not there yet. Now, I got to tell you, I probably have learned more about patience from this than anything, because I did exactly the same thing. Okay, when I was a kid, are we there yet? We used to take trips. My dad's idea of a fun vacation was all get in a car and drive for day after day after day, spending the whole day trying to get to a point in Arkansas or Colorado or whatever, okay, that he had mapped out that we can make it there today. And so the whole day we're sitting in the back of the car waiting to get to the point. And I remember one time we passed Arches National Park. And Daddy had, we were going to Oregon, and Daddy had the idea, we're getting to Salt Lake City, I think is where we were going. I may have the geography wrong on that. And Mother says, "Can let's stop, that looks good, let's stop and see Arches National Park." I said, nope, we got to make Salt Lake City. You know, and we've all probably been that way. Now, see, I was a little hard on the women. You men, you know you're nearly all that way, aren't you? We set goals and we got to make them, and the goal becomes the most important thing, not the getting there, of course. All right. Waiting. I got a few things here. A lot of our lesson is going to come from adages, common things that people have said, and there's going to be some from the Bible here, and not all of them are 100% correct, but I want to look at them. Aristotle, maybe you've heard of him, he's a big guy, taught Alexander the Great. Patience is bitter, but the fruit is sweet. Now, I don't think that's exactly right, is it? But we understand what he's saying. If you can put up with the lack of gratification, you will get more gratification in the future. Okay. If you cannot spend all your money on a new car, maybe you can have money for a down payment on a new house. Okay. We understand that. That is kind of patience, is it? Patience is not easy, okay, but it has rewards. Benjamin Franklin says, he that can have patience can have what he will. Patience is a good way to get stuff done. Now, in a Christian context, I don't think that needs to be our motivator, but we need to have patience, okay? We need to have patience in our lives. This is my favorite one. This is Winnie the Pooh. Okay, the rivers know this. There is no hurry. We shall get there someday. Okay, well, there's a lot of truth in that, isn't there? Okay, there's a lot of truth. We're riding in the back seat of the car. We're going along on the river on a raft like Huck Finn and Jim. We're going where God takes us, and we'll eventually get there. Okay, we'll eventually, and it probably doesn't help too much to try to paddle. Just take where we're going. Okay, this tells us something. We learn something about patience from all these, but I can learn many things from children. This is for you parents. How much you can learn, how much patience you have, for instance. Nothing lets you know that you don't have good patience more than a child. Okay, more than a child. And this one's probably closer to the rest of us than anybody. You know Margaret Thatcher, longtime Prime Minister of England, the Iron Lady of the United Kingdom. I'm extraordinarily patient, provided I get my way in the end. What is that patience, we have to ask? Not in the way we're talking about it, is it? Patience is not a means to get what we want. Okay? Patience in the Christian life is a means to get what God wants and to integrate us into God's plan. Lord, please give me patience, because if you give me strength, I'll need bail money too. We've all felt that, haven't we? We've all had that person that we want to punch their lights out, or get the air out of their let the air out of their tires, or throw garbage in their yard, or whatever it is. Okay, we need that. Lord, give me patience, because I'm just about ready to be impatient. And that's a lot of the way we live our lives, isn't it? Okay, I'll need bail money too, if you give me strength. Okay. Lord, give me patience. This is our prayer, and give it to me now. And if this doesn't fit you, you can leave with the kids. You don't need to hear this sermon. But I got a feeling this fits everybody. Okay. Not only do I want to be patient, I want to get the patience when I want to get it. Okay. And Lord, you better give it to me right now or else. Anytime we say in our lives, or else, we need to stand back and kind of analyze what's going on, because I've got to guess patience is not part of it. Jesus' ministry began with Simeon. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Old man, waited his whole life for it, and finally saw the Christ child and realized that this was the consolation of Israel. It ended with, and behold, there was a man named Joseph. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. Okay? There were many people in Christ's time and in the generation that Christ was born into who were waiting and spent much of their lives not getting what they hoped for from God. But they waited long enough, and they finally got the Christ. Jesus told his disciples, "You will be hated by all men for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." He told the church in Philadelphia, "Because you have kept my word about patient endurance." And I got to think that word about patient endurance was what he told the disciples in the previous slide, or something similar. "I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming to them, the whole world, to try those who dwell on the earth." The patient will be saved, seems to be what he is telling these people here. Well, the first thing about patience is we learn it at the bedrock level from God. Okay. Now, I got to say something. We don't get to exercise godly patience. We get to exercise a patience like godly patience. And here's the reason. Godly patience has to do with God giving people time to repent, or not punishing people immediately when they deserve it, or not totally giving up on people after he's punished. And you know that punishment part? That's not our thing. Okay, but we learned something from God. You remember the mark of Cain. You remember Cain? Cain killed his brother, and God knew about it. Okay. God knew about it, but he didn't kill Cain. He banished him. Okay. And Cain says, "If you kick me out, people are going to know that I'm the first murderer. They're going to kill me." So he put the mark of Cain on him so they wouldn't kill him. There is mercy in godly patience. You remember Nineveh and the story of Jonah. A large city, and nobody was following God, and God sent Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go. Okay, he didn't like Nineveh. Maybe he knew that eventually Nineveh would destroy the 10 tribes of Israel. I don't know. But anyway, but he finally sent him because God wanted those people to repent. And the message was, if you repent in a certain amount of time, you will not be punished. The rainbow. Even after God sent the destruction of the flood, he found a way to save men, and he gave us a promise of his patience in the future. And his patience in the future, from Noah's point of view, is, "I won't do this again." I love to see rainbows, okay, because that's what I think about. God's not going to do this again, okay? He got it out of his system. The Lord is slow to fulfill His promises as some count slowness, Peter writes. And by the way, this verse is right after the verse that said to the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. So the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And I got to tell you, from what Peter tells us, one of the reasons the Lord hasn't come is He wants people to repent. He gives them time. We need to give other people time, and we need to give ourselves time. I am currently under construction. Thank you for your patience. All of us would like to have that sign on us, but how many of us are willing to put that sign on our coworkers, on our friends, on our enemies, on our neighbors? Okay? Patience requires us to realize that nobody's perfect. Okay? And that if we expect a high standard of people, they're going to disappoint us. But we are also going to disappoint God. And here finally we come to this one. And I think in the Christian life this is the most important one, having patience with God. Okay. He has patience with us when He doesn't condemn us for our sins. We need to have patience with God. Okay. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. It takes courage not to get out ahead of God. Okay. We wonder why God doesn't do this in the world. We wonder why God doesn't do that in the world. When's the Lord coming? We wonder about all these things, and that's not our job. Okay? So much of Christianity is dealing nowadays, if you noticed it, trying to figure out when the Lord's going to come. And every generation has said they're coming soon. And so far, everyone has been wrong. Everyone has been wrong because we think it's going to be soon, right now, and we're not patient with the Lord. I remember a interview with Billy Graham, kind of a news person, a little bit skeptical, said, "What do you think heaven is going to be like?" And he begins it, and I think Billy Graham thought that the Lord was going to come in his lifetime, but he began it with these words, "If the Lord tarries." If the Lord takes His time. Well, the Lord always takes His time. You remember where we talk patience and time are interwoven? You can't be patient if you don't take the time to be patient. Well, the Lord's taking the time, and that's His business, not ours. Don't get out ahead of the Lord. I wait for the Lord. Oh, I need to go back. That takes courage. Okay? It's like walking into a dark room. It's like standing on the edge of a precipice. It's like anything that can scare you if you do not realize that the Lord holds you in His hand. Okay? This patience is not easy. It's just not. It takes work. You got to be brave to be patient. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. Okay, and I think what the psalmist means there is the very innermost part of my being is a waiting kind of a game. Plays the waiting game. And in His Word, I hope. And my soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman waits for the morning. I need to develop myself and to not Aristotelian patience, like it's bitter, but there's something good at the end, but to the point where patience is part of my nature. And I got to tell you, if the Lord's going to work that out on me, He needs to get going, okay? Because that's a tough one, isn't it? We need to be patient for the Lord. It needs to be second nature. We have all seen people who panicked, Okay. We have all seen people who have panicked. And panic nearly always leads to people making wrong assumptions, taking the wrong action, not just taking 1 minute or hour or day to see what's really happening. Okay. We see this all the time, don't we, in the news. Something happens, everybody this, that. We got to run around like a chicken. The head cut off. Okay. We had a saying in the Air Force. We had a clock in the airplane, and it was the old style clock. It was not digital. Okay. You had to wind it. And then when we first got into the airplane, you wound the clock. And by the way, that's your fault because y'all wouldn't buy new stuff for us. Okay. You taxpayers never want to pay for all this expensive stuff. You know, we could have got a nice clock for about $4,000 a piece. Okay, that's kind of what. But anyway, we also had a little light that was called the Master Caution. Okay, and all your other caution lights, if they came on, your Master Caution light came on, and that got your attention. That was in your eyesight, and then you would look down. And if you and we had a saying, it says, if you're on fire, what is the first thing you should do? Wind your clock. Okay. Now, if you didn't really need to wind your clock. We were saying, don't jump to the conclusions. I had 3 fire lights in my career, and none of them were fires. They were all failures of the fire detection system. That was your fault, by the way. Yeah, that was your fault. And so if I had shut that engine down and zoomed into an airport that was too short and run off the end of the runway, I'd have been pretty silly. Well, life's like that. 99% of the time, we need to take a deep breath. We need to think about things. We need to not jump to conclusions. We need to remain calm. You know, I've forgotten the statement. If you can remain, Rudyard Kipling, if you can remain calm when all about you are losing their head, okay, you'll be a great man. It needs to be part of us. Don't jump to conclusions. Wait upon the Lord. And finally, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He is my rock and my salvation. It never pass up a chance to keep your mouth shut. Never be afraid to wait upon the Lord. It's always the best policy, okay? Because He's going to do things in His time, but this is the important part of this kind of patience we're getting to. It's only in God. You got patience in your insurance company? File a claim, okay? You got pay. You know, many of us may have had parents that have failed us. Maybe we've had bosses at work that have not been as good to us. Maybe life hasn't been as good to us as we wanted. But if you have faith in that kind of stuff, that's what's going to happen to you. You have faith in me, I will eventually disappoint you in some way. Okay, it's just the way it is. But when we have faith in God, He's not going to do that. He is the one, the only one who is worthy to be waited upon. Oops. Patience with family is love. Patience with others is respect. Patience with self is confidence. And patience with God is faith.